Thanks, Clive. Just great songs to be able to use and to worship God this morning, and real truth within them. And I'm sure as we sang them, it would have brought us joy and happiness as well, as just being able to sing that truth. And the question I'm going to pose to you this morning, just before we open up the passage of Scripture and look at it and see what God's got to say to us through it, is what brings you joy? What makes you happy? What brings a smile on your face? And I'm sure if I was to take a microphone and wandered around and asked you all individually, you'd all have all different sort of things. This brings me joy. This makes me happy. I've got one or two slides up here that may evoke some feelings of happiness and joy. Let's see what we've got. Ben Stokes, last weekend. Unbelievable. I smiled greatly, and it made me incredibly happy as he pulled that match back against Australians. It was absolutely fantastic. And sticking with a sporting theme, and just to keep our pastor happy here, Liverpool, when they won the Champions League, I'm sure evoked a few thoughts of happiness and great joy, certainly to the red half of Merseyside. So let's stay away from sport. What else may make us happy or may give us joy? And certainly for myself, first thing in the morning, it's just marvelous stuff. It has to be fresh, not instant. It's coffee. And it brings a smile to my face. And maybe, like myself, if you've been maybe searching through the internet and been online on social media, certain pictures come up that will maybe bring a smile on our face. And there was one that certainly done the rounds this week of a little girl. I think she was going into primary two. And this was her on the left as she started the day. And this was her on the right at the end of the day. I'll tell you something, I wish it was at her school. It looks an absolute blast. But certainly pictures that bring a smile. And then other pictures may remind us of memories and events that have lasted, that maybe happened many years ago, and that even today will still bring a smile on certain people's faces. Ah, the Haxtons on that wonderful day, and that wasn't yesterday. Yes, James, now you know what you've got to look forward to. Many, many things bring us joy and happiness. But yet the truth is, when we live this life here on earth, that life isn't all about joy and happiness. And that life can be tough, and it is tough for many of us. We can experience the loss of a job, maybe unexpectedly, and all the challenges and the uncertainty that can bring. Maybe a friendship that you've had with somebody for years is suddenly ruined through some ill-timed words, or maybe some harsh words that are spoken. Maybe there's an illness that maybe comes upon you that you're really struggling to deal with, and maybe that illness has maybe stayed with you for a long time. Or maybe there's a death of someone close. And yet that is the harsh reality of the life that we live in. We have moments of joy and happiness, things that bring a smile on our face, but we can certainly have tough times, and we do have tough times. And yet in the verses we're going to look at today, we see that Peter is writing a letter to Christians that have been scattered throughout the land, and he acknowledges before them that they're going through a tough time, going through trials. There's a refining process that's happened, but he's able to write to them that they're filled, or reminds them that they're filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. So how can this be? Here are guys that have been scattered about, they're going through trials, and yet he reminds them that they're filled with an indescribable and glorious joy. As I say, the verses we're going to really look at are verses 6 to 9, but to put it in a context, I want to read the whole of the passage in front of us. 1 Peter chapter 1, let's read it. To God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. And this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all of this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Christ Jesus is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. In all this, you greatly rejoice. Peter was very quick just to think of the letter he was going to be writing, and he wanted to sort of like just say, you greatly rejoice. But in this, in what? In the truth that he writes just before that. And this is why it's so important, you know, for us as Christians to actually come and to open up the Bible and to read it and just to be reminded of the truth. To, you know, and sometimes, especially when you're going through really tough times, sometimes it can be, people can be well-meaning and throw a verse maybe out of context. And the truth is, you really want to just go and punch them in the nose. You know, don't ever say that to me again, because you don't know what I'm going through. But if it's said sensitively and with love, and if we can take a step back from the trials that we're going through and the hardship, we can learn and we can hold on to the truth. And that's what Peter wanted to do when he was writing this letter. He says, in his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The same when it was written, and it's the same today. Not only that, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. We may get an inheritance from a great aunt that's died. Eventually that will be spent or it will go. But Peter reminds the Christians, and he reminds us today, that we have an inheritance that can never perish, never be spoiled, and never fade. And isn't that tremendous? And we hold on to that. Even though, for now, and in a little while, we've may had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. And that is to say, that is the truth, that we do suffer all kinds of trials, but we can, if we're a Christian today, we can rejoice. When I was thinking of an example to use, I came across a guy, and you'll know the song that he wrote, right? There was a guy called Horatio Spafford. Forgive me if I've pronounced his name wrong. Now, Horatio lost his son at the age of 2. He was financially ruined in the Great Fire of Chicago of 1871. He then suffered further turmoil, and through that turmoil, he said to his wife and his 4 daughters, go over to Britain, I'll meet you over there. And on the way over, the boat was sunk, his 4 daughters died, his wife was saved. And when he sailed over to meet his grieving wife, when he passed the spot where the boat sunk, he was able to write the words of that well-known hymn whose chorus says, it is well with my soul. He was a man that was suffering an incredible amount of grief. And even though through that grief that he was experiencing and still going through, he was able to write the words that we maybe have sung ourselves and maybe have held on to. It is well with my soul. Grief also, again, this I think was one of the great things about Scripture. It doesn't say, once you become a Christian, everything will be great. and life will be lovely and fluffy and wonderful. There is absolute truth within it to say, no, life is tough, and that has been expressed in many verses. We read in Psalm 22, the psalmist writes, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far, my cries of anguish. And Christ himself used those very words on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Luke records when thinking about Jesus himself, he said, being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And Matthew records these words that Christ spoke and said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. We do suffer grief, but the truth is, as a Christian, we're not alone when we're going through that really tough time, that time of trial, that time of grief. God knows everything about the situation that we face, and he will not leave us. He will walk with us. He may even carry us in that situation that we're facing. Peter then talks about that these have come about to prove the genuineness of our faith. And he says, it's gonna, you know, your faith is greater worth than gold, and the reason it may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. But in that verse, he talks about even the gold that has been refined by fire. And there's many verses in the Bible, and the Bible talks about how our faith, how we are, as Christians, we're refined. So why don't you have a look very briefly at what does this refining process actually look like? So first of all, when ore is found hardened ore, it's smashed, so the potential of the silver and gold can be revealed. That then is put in a bowl called a crucible, which is a fireproof melting pot, and that then is placed into the fire. That heat of that fire is then increased, and the dross, the rubbish, rises to the top. The refiner then skims off the dross. We don't need that. But as he looks into the melted gold or silver, he sees a reflection, but it's not a good reflection. He says, I'm going to have to increase the heat here and get rid of the dross that's really tough to come by. So he increases the heat, and more dross rises to the top, and that dross is then cleaned off. And the final section is the reflection. When the refiner can see his reflection in the gold or the silver, he knows that the process is complete. And that is what happens when we as Christians go through these trials, when we're maybe suffering grief. It's a refining process that God wants to do in our lives. And so the question I would maybe put to you this morning is, do we trust the refiner? Do we trust the refiner that he knows what he's doing? Even though we may cry out, what on earth is going on, Lord? Do we trust him? Verse 8 goes on to say, though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. We've just talked about the trials that some of these Christians have gone through, and the trials that we may be going through, the refining process that these guys have been going through in the same way that we would be going through. But Peter reminds those readers of saying, you are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. So what is this joy? Is this the same as the joy as we were looking at to begin with? Is it found in maybe sort of happiness in the material possessions, in our job? We may find joy in them. Let's not kid ourselves. You know, we will find happiness within our job and material possessions. I looked at maybe in exercising as well. I was looking online and I found a website, 100 small things that bring you joy. And there was a whole host and a whole list of things. But if we ultimately put our hope in these things, I truly believe we'll be disappointed and we will be let down. For those of you who don't know myself and what I do as a job, I'm a firefighter. And very quickly in my fire brigade career, I realized that water was my best friend. Not only could it give people a really good soaking with it, but it was used to put out fires. So we turn up to a simple rubbish fire. We get a bucket of water and pour that over. Brilliant. It worked. Fire would go out. Car fire, well, maybe we'd have to get a hose reel out and put a little bit more water on it. House fire, and maybe a little bit more water. Is, you know, again, it's a little bit bigger. This week, we had to put an awful lot of water in that school that was on fire at Woodmill, but eventually it did go out. So if I thought, brilliant, water is the answer to every single fire that I go to, magic, if I really held on to that, I may just be let down. Are we missing a video here? No, we're not. Sorry, that was a definition of joy I was going to throw in here. We'll move on from that. So, if I totally trust water to put out every single fire, I will be sorely disappointed in this little next video that you may see. So this is what happens when you put oil or water onto an oil fire. It doesn't go out. And so if you ever have a chip pan fire at home, don't throw any water on it. Get everyone together, give her, and get out, stay out, and call 999. And the fire brigade will come out, and they will deal with the fire. And that's your fire safety lecture for today. So if I really trust water to put out every single fire, I'll be sorely disappointed, because it will ultimately let me down. And I really believe that if you find your joy and in some of the things that we mentioned, ultimately, they will let you down. But the Bible talks about maybe a different type of joy, an inexpressible and glorious joy, a joy that is worth hanging on to. And I would like to just encourage you, when you go home, just to put, even into Google, biblical definition of joy, and just start looking at it and just start doing a little bit of digging. You could be there for a long time, but it will maybe really encourage you. Here's just a couple of verses that we can look at and maybe hold on to. Nehemiah writes, and he says, "The joy of the Lord is your strength. True when he first wrote it all those years ago, and true today, that the joy of the Lord is our strength." Not only that, the psalmist was able to write, "In your presence there is fullness of joy." Not just a little bit of joy, but in God's presence there is fullness of joy. And Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples, said these words, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." It's the joy that we find from Christ is the joy that will last forever and ever and ever. Okay, we missed a wee definition of joy before, and it was really just to sort of like try and push on and build up. But here's another definition of joy: the exhilaration of being right with God and consciously walking in his love and care. Being right with God doesn't mean to say you do the right things or you're good or you're kind, but it's knowing that he has done everything for us. He has paid that price. He has paid the price for our sins by his death on the cross, by the resurrection. And that's why we go and celebrate communion very shortly, just to be reminded there's nothing of us that can make us right before God, but God has done everything for us. Here's another thought of what joy can mean. Going that little bit deeper, an inner gladness, a deep-seated pleasure. It is a depth of assurance and confidence that ignites a cheerful heart. Joy is not an experience that comes from favorable circumstances, but it's God's gift to believers. Joy is a part of God's very essence. Joy is a deep-down sense of well-being that abides in the heart of the person who knows all is well between himself and the Lord, and can sing that well-known hymn that we alluded to earlier, it is well with my soul. And finally, Martin Lloyd-Jones, as he was looking at joy and he was thinking, what is the biblical definition of joy? What does it truly mean? He was able to write these words: "He satisfies my mind, he satisfies my emotions, he satisfies my every desire. He and his great salvation include the whole personality and nothing less. And in him, I am complete. Joy, in other words, is the response and the reaction of the soul to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's also an acknowledgement that Christ himself, by his Spirit, lives within us. That indescribable and glorious joy, if you're a Christian, dwells in us. And we just need to stop and be reminded of that and think about that again, especially when we are suffering grief, when we're going through those trials. Because sometimes it's easy to take your eyes off the ball. Sometimes it is easy to maybe put our hope and joy in other things. But our joy ultimately is in Christ. So in conclusion, do I know this joy? Hopefully, if you're a Christian this morning, you can say yes. And I was thinking about this earlier and thinking, do I know this joy? And if I think purely on feelings, then I could maybe say yes or no. But if I think and know it as a truth that Christ lives within me, I can say absolutely, I know this indescribable and glorious joy. I have to learn to hold on to that. I have to learn in the times of grief, in the times of trials, in the time of refining, to know the truth of the words of Scripture, that this indescribable and glorious joy lives within me. And hopefully, you can say exactly the same. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you that you have given us your word. I thank you that it is true when it was written as it is today. And I thank you that in a world where we may put our hope and our joy in many things, that unfortunately these things will ultimately let us down. May our joy, our hope be found in you. May we know what it is for that indescribable and glorious joy to dwell in us. And may we hold on to that truth. May in those times of grief that we will suffer, and those times of trials and hardship, that we may be encouraged by other Christians. We would get down on our knees and cry out to you. But we'd also be reminded of the truth that is written within your word. Truth that is the same today, yesterday, and forever. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us. And may we truly know your indescribable joy, indescribable and glorious joy dwelling in us.